to the Good Work Show. We're back in full effect. Well, half effect.
Well, no, it's full. Both of us are here, so that's full effect.
Okay, that's full effect. We're not in the studio any longer, but we are in the modified version of the studio, which is our home offices.
Right, or my dining room, as you know.
Yeah.
One day on social, we're going to take the picture of what I'm looking at.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes, yeah.
Honestly,
I did a little bit more cleaning up over there too, so now I'm kind of feel a little bit
better. It's actually not a bad view. It's just, where I'm sitting is not, my setup though is kind of interesting. I've got like tables. So I've got one over here with the light, and then because you can see I've got a light right there. And
now people are going to be like, when they see my setup, they'll be like, first of all,
it's like air travel. Right. This is how Elaine runs the world. All of her. You're like that meme with the cat that's on the computer.
Yes. I have all these screens. That's why it's so hot in here all the time.
Well, you have the screens. I'm looking at the bar. So that's, dining room. So I have
You need to pivot. Pivot, Trudy.
So it's like, you know, it's the fully stocked bar is what I'm looking at. Like, how much longer is there this day?
You have some hours at this point.
I know. I do have some hours left. And it's Friday, so there's that. So.
Yeah.
I try to keep my happy hour to Friday. Like, I'm trying not to let quarantine life become a free-for-all.
Well, that's, you know what? I'm proud of that. Like, I didn't think you had an issue with that, but I'm just glad that you said it and you made it known that was...
Yeah. That's the funny thing. I really don't. I mean, like, that's just not... Well, if you can't go... Because every once in a while, you know, I like to be sociable every once in a while, so I would go out, and now you're not doing that. So it's like, well, how can we make this? Though at one point I was like trying out all these recipes and stuff. I was like, well, let's see what this can do. Just entertainment. And then at that point you're like, probably not
the best entertainment.
Not the best. Like, I should probably try to take up my knitting again. That was probably a better.
Yeah, that's true. Well, anyway, audience, we are glad to be with you back on some shows. And we did say that we were promised that we were going to bring you some guests. And we have a partner of Goodwill's, the commissioner of the Georgia Department of Juvenile Justice, Mr. Tyrone Oliver, is going to join us on the show. And we're excited because we have, you know, we talk about Goodwill. We talk about some of our partnerships in how we work together on job training programs. But I think this is going to be good. I don't know a whole lot about the Department of Juvenile Justice, at least in the sense that
You know when you got picked.
No. See, don't spread those. No, I do not have a record. Anyway,
that we can see, because you know those get sealed. So I'm
anywho,
just
let's just, you know, don't even feed into that, audience.
I'll just start rumors.
The background of what they do. So, you know, we always think of Department of, and you hear juvenile, and you hear justice, and you hear all of those things, and it makes you think like automatically law enforcement and, you know, detention. But there's so much more that the commissioner and his team are doing and working on. And we know a bit about it because of our partnerships with Goodwill, but we're going to bring some of that information to you once he joins us on the show.
Yeah, so that's going to be really great content that we're lining up. And we've actually got quite a few guests. So in our off time, we weren't just off. We've been working and kind of figuring out what this new iteration of the Good Work Show is going to look like. So we're excited. We are going to be in this social platform, so you'll be able to see us all the time. You'll get a new show every week. We've got a bunch of great guests lined up. So we actually have been spending the last few weeks lining up guests, making sure that we're bringing you really great, timely content to the show. And I think everyone that we are looking to talk to in the next couple of weeks definitely has some information that they're bringing to you that you can use right now.
Yeah, that'd be
so
great.
So all of it, yeah. So everybody is talking about stuff and some of the issues that are facing our community right now, or resources that you can reach out to, or things that you know, that you may want to get your kids involved with, all of those things. We're just trying to be really, you know, Timely, yes. I mean, we tried really, we did try before. I mean, we never did. Not tried, but
we are making more intentionality this time.
Yes, to make sure, because we all know that it's weird. Like everything now, and even the people that we're talking to, everybody is adapting to whatever this long term, you know, when we first started this, we were kind of like, well, we'll be doing this for
a
month or month and a half. And
here we are.
Here we are. So
I just would like to say, for the record, for those of you who know, the NBA is back. That's all I have to say about that. that's all I really can say about that. That's all I gotta say. If anybody knows how to, I'm trying to think, because someone sent me an invite to something that I can't go to. Because I have a conflict, but then I was like, if you could get me to Orlando to go to watch a game in the bubble, but I'm not actually sure I'd want to go in the bubble.
There's a lot to being in the bubble. Apparently you have to, I'll have to send you the article. I just read it the other day from there. It's a reporter who was sent down, I think from the Washington Post, and they were reporting from inside the bubble, but they were talking about all of the stuff that's involved. On one hand, I'm like, that seems really arduous. On the other hand,
I mean, you got,
if you can create, think about though, if you can create a bubble in a place where there's entertainment stuff, you can hang out with your friends and family, you can work, you can do all of the stuff, but you know that you have created this secure thing
without germs. I mean, with limited germ, like, you know what I mean?
Limited germ. Yeah, fewer germs. But like, I mean, theoretically, that would be
pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
like being on your own island.
Yes.
Yes. So,
and my house is not big enough to be a bubble. Like, it's okay.
No. But it's not big enough. You don't have like the barber shop or the nail salon there. You don't have.
I can't go fishing.
So are all the families there? I didn't think the families.
No, families aren't. No. Families aren't there.
Oh, so you're like using an analogy in terms.
Yeah. So like, if you know, imagine like if you had. I'm kind of thinking like, okay,
well,
so
actually,
like
my. Let me take that back. I don't want my family in the bubble. I love my family to death. I don't think I could stay with them in a bubble that somebody couldn't go out of and come back in. Like,
you had a big enough bubble, but think about
I guess so.
If your bubble,
if
your bubble was a Disney resort, like if you had the entire resort and that was your bubble, I could live in that bubble.
Okay, I could live in that bubble too. Yeah.
I could totally live in that bubble.
Yeah. And you have all of the stuff and your food gets delivered to you. You don't have to go to the grocery store. You don't have to worry about.
Here's the thing, there's always the one fool in the bubble though, right? Cause you got to pick your bubble people very carefully. Cause there's the, I forget which player it was, that you have all the these order. Resources and you order Postmates.
Yeah. But first of all, let's just talk about the Postmates driver who delivered it. You knew you were going to the bubble. He knew it was, I don't know. I'm assuming it was a guy. It may have been a woman. I don't know. But the person who went to deliver it to the bubble knew that good.
Yes, that you were going to the bubble.
And they knew they shouldn't, but they probably knew it was an NBA player, and they're like, I'm going to the bubble.
Because what's gonna happen to me?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think because nothing would happen to me if I were making the delivery. So yeah, I take the order. Be like, oh shoot.
I mean, they probably got a good tip. if LeBron James called me now and said, can you deliver? Yes. Before he said what it was to deliver, I would say yes.
No, you may want to know what it was before you said yes.
No,
LeBron ain't gonna ask for that. LeBron ain't gonna ask for nothing crazy.
We're friends. If he calls me, we're friends. I'm good.
He's not gonna ask for nothing crazy, but yeah. So NBA's back, so we're very excited about that. If you're a baseball fan, which I don't think either one of us are, baseball's back.
Not really, but yeah, so, but the Braves are back.
College football is up in the air, so I'm checking for that a little bit. And the rest of the stuff, golf is back. Golf has been back. I watch a good golf match, but the more importantly, we're back.
That's right. We got guests who are back too. So we're excited.
Yeah. So we look forward to bringing you this content, and let's enjoy whatever this new ride of the Good Work Show is going to be. So
all right. Stay tuned for Commissioner Oliver. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are excited because we have Commissioner Tyrone Oliver, who is the commissioner for the Georgia Department of Juvenile Justice, on with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for having me, and I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. So we at Goodwill know a little bit about Department of Juvenile Justice, but we'd love for you to give our audience a little sense of who you are and what your role is at the department.
All right. Well, like you said, my name is Tyrone Oliver. I'm the commissioner here at the Department of Juvenile Justice. I was appointed by Governor Brian Kemp a year ago, almost to the day, to take over this great organization. A little bit about me, my background. I come from a law enforcement background. I spent 21 years in law enforcement all the way. I started my career off in the Newton County Detention Center, so I worked in the jail setting. Spent majority of my career in investigations. Went to Brookhaven Police Department. When they started, I was one of the first five people hired at the city of Brookhaven to start that police department. And then became police chief in Social Circle, which is a little small town in Newton and Walton counties. They sit in two counties. I stayed there for 3.5 years. And here I am at the Department of Juvenile Justice. And I've been here just right at a year.
So all that Newton County stuff, well, I have to ask, do you live in Newton County?
I do.
Okay, so you're down the street, like, well, at least not now, because it looks like you're in your office. I live in Covington, too, so.
Okay.
Well, you mentioned Newton County, like, 2 or 3 times. I'm like, there's got to be, nobody mentions Newton County that often.
Ever, except for Elaine.
She's for
the only
me.
Person that ever talks about Newton County.
Yes.
14 and a half years there at the sheriff's office, so.
Okay, all right, so we're neighbors a little bit.
So you've been out to Elaine's house a few times when you were with the sheriff's department.
We can't don't say that. Wait a minute. No, he's never been to my house.
Just a few times for some disorderly conduct calls, I'm sure.
You should look familiar.
Right. So talk to us a little bit about what your department does. So folks may think about, you know, youth and detention centers, but your mission is not that. You're working to make sure that youth are productive and law-abiding citizens. So tell us what you wish that people knew about the youth that you work with at DJJ.
Yeah, you know, we have a very challenging job. Actually, we had a board meeting on yesterday, and we adopted a new mission statement, which hopefully transforms. I just wanted to just take a second just to kind of update everybody about our new mission statement. So our new mission statement says the Georgia Department of Juvenile Justice transform young lives by providing evidence-based rehabilitative treatment services and supervision, strengthening the well-being of youth and families, and fostering safe communities. And so we kind of took a shift a little bit because you know, according to the Georgia Code, that's our duty to transform these lives of young people, provide evidence-based services to them, and just try to make sure that they're better off when they leave us. But so often, a lot of times, people just think that we run detention centers, whether short-term or long-term. We have our usual youth detention centers, and then we have our youth development campuses, which is our long-term facilities. And we have, we're at school system with 180 per school district in the state of Georgia. It's called Georgia Preparatory Academy. And so we provide education to our kids who come in our care. So middle and high school age kids, but behavioral health and mental health services are also provided to the kids, which is very important too. Within 2 hours of them coming into our facility, they're screened for mental health, substance abuse, and suicide risk screenings. They go through all that. A large part of our population in our long-term facilities are on the mental health caseload, about 72%, mm-hmm. and then about 50% in our short-term facilities are on our mental health caseload. And so, you know, we're dealing with a lot. We have a lot of challenging things going on at DJJ, but the staff, they do a phenomenal job making sure that everyone stays safe. And then also we have the community piece. And so, so not only do we have our secure confinement areas, which roughly I think today we have about 987 statewide in our secure confinement, but we average about 10,000. We serve about 10,000 youth inside the community. So they're on probation or they're in residential placements, things of that nature. And so DJJ, we kind of do it all. We have a team of, like I said, mental health, substance abuse counselors, medical teachers, you name it, we take care of them.
Wow. That's a really big job. And that 70%, you know, I think a lot of people probably would be surprised to hear that the number is so high, but glad that they are getting screened within the first couple of hours that they are with you, which is super important because a lot of people may not realize, you know, a lot of that, what the behavior is probably linked right back to that mental health, right?
Absolutely. You know, we our mental health workers, they do a phenomenal job trying to figure out what those triggers are so we can address those needs while they're with us and then provide them coping tools and coping mechanisms to deal with while they're with us and then also when we leave. But then, you know, also about 56% of our kids that come to us are, you know, substance abuse. They have some kind of substance abuse in our short-term facilities and 42% in our long-term facilities. And so we try to get them off that path too to get on the right path to detox and become better people, make better choices.
Yeah. So we're a partner. Like I said, we know you well at Goodwill because we are one of the partners with DJJ, but you have some really unique partnerships that have developed into programs to support the youth with education and workforce development with jobs. Talk to us about your LEAP programs. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, we partner with you all and several others with LEAP, Georgia Tech, JP Morgan and Chase, and of course, Goodwill Industries with our LEAP program. But our LEAP program is a certification program that prepares our young kids with jobs in the supply chain and logistics field. And so, you know, we're able to walk them through that training process with the thanks to you guys here at Goodwill. I think it's a phenomenal program. And we just had a graduation, I think it was last November, down in Savannah. And we graduated eight kids that came out of that program down in Savannah. And they all received jobs, I think. They had job opportunities after the training. And it's just a wonderful partnership. We can't thank you enough and thank the other partners for providing that, because that's what it's all about, is trying to provide these kids and these young people with opportunities they can leave our care and have something more productive to do than what got them here in the first place. And that's my goal here as a commissioner of DJJ, to make sure that we provide them every opportunity to better themselves when they leave. And so I can't thank Goodwill enough for that.
Well, we're a proud partner, and I know that we're looking forward to any more work that we can do together, you know, to help kids out there. So along that vein, though, we're not the only partner and nonprofit organization that y'all work with. So talk to us a little bit about some of those other partnerships and some of the other things that you're doing to help youth here in Georgia.
Yeah, so we also partner, like you said, not only with Goodwill, but we partner with Home Depot. Home Depot has been a tremendous partner to us. They provide like an 8-week program to teach our kids soft skills, interviewing skills, resume building, and just to try to make better decisions. And so they go through that 8-week program with Home Depot to manage that, and also conflict resolution. I think that's huge. You know, we push conflict resolution and things of that nature while they're with us. But then when you have a company like Home Depot or Goodwill come in and say the exact same thing, it kind of sinks in with them. And so that's been a huge benefit, not only for our kids, but for their families as well. I think some of the families are taking advantage of not only the Home Depot partnership, but the LEAP program as well. So not only are the kids going through that program, their families are going through it as well. And I think that's the only way we shift from where we're at, is to fix the family as well as the kids. And so again, Goodwill, Home Depot, guys are doing a phenomenal job. I'm very appreciative of our partnership and all the work that we're doing together.
Absolutely. Well, so you mentioned and gave us some statistics about how many youth that you're serving, whether they are in a facility or just out and on probation. tell us a success story though, because you have so many great programs and services, whether it's the mental health or the job training and development, the education that they're able to get. I know there are some of those youth who you're just super proud of. You mentioned the graduation recently. Can you talk to us and maybe share a story or two about one of those youth who turned their life around thanks to the support they got from you and your team?
Yeah, there's plenty of success stories. You know, one of the ones that really touched my heart, to be honest with you, was the LEAP graduation. And I'm not just saying that because you guys were partners. I mean, it was one of the first events that I've been to as commissioner here. And just to see the smiles on the kids' faces, the smiles on their parents' faces, really just this touched my heart because we gave them hope. We gave them something that they can go back into the community with and make something of themselves. And I think that was one of the biggest, one of the success stories that I can remember that really touched me was the LEAP program and that graduation, seeing those 8 kids walk across that stage and receive a certificate, several certificates in that field was huge. But then also, you know, we have our welding program and our students go through our with American Welding Society. They receive certifications in that, and then been several kids who left our care who end up getting jobs for welding. But you know, it takes a village, and you know, we've again the partnerships that we have with you all, Home Depot, and all of our other partners is just a tremendous help for us and for the kids.
Yeah, so let's talk about that village. So you've talked about some of the kind of official partnerships that you have with organizations like Goodwill and, you know, with the welding program and with Home Depot and that kind of stuff, but how can everyday citizens help you in your efforts to help these youth turn their lives around? Or, I mean, they're already doing the work to turn their lives around, so how can we be supportive? How can we be a good member of that village to help them, keep them on that right path after you kind of turn them out into the world?
You know, I think the biggest thing, and I've said this since I stepped foot in here, even before as being a police chief, I think, you know, we need to give these young people and adults who've made bad decisions a second chance, an opportunity. You know, out there in the community, you know, somebody's got to say yes to them and provide them with some jobs, something to do. But mentorship is another good way to do it. So community mentorship is an excellent way. And parental involvement, you know, when we have stuff go on in our communities, make sure that's something that the whole family can take part in. So that way the parents or the guardians or whoever is taking care of these young people can participate too and have something for them to do. That family engagement piece is very important. You know, oftentimes, you know, we're so busy, we're caught up in this lifestyle of working and playing and working several jobs that parental involvement is key in the success of these young people. And then, you know, pulling the faith-based community together to be that village as well, to provide that mentorship, that stability for their community. And so what I would ask the community to do, if you see a group of young men or women going astray or going down the wrong path, just pull them to the side and talk to them. See if there's something they can do around the house, around your yard, or around the community to help them out, to keep their mind off on the good track and not getting on the off track and giving them something positive to do. I think that's a lot of times what they lack. And then hopefully they can see the benefits from working hard and dedicating themselves to something positive.
Absolutely. So you've given us a lot of information, Commissioner, about, you know, the programs that you offer. If there are individuals who are interested in learning more, or there are nonprofits or companies who say, wow, I'd really like to partner with DJJ and create a program where we can help our youth get on the right path, how should they reach out? How should they find out more, and how can they get involved?
That's a good question. You know, we have a whole team of victim and volunteer services that drives that for us. Director Coleman is doing a phenomenal job in that shop. But you can visit our website at www.djj.georgia.gov, or you can contact Victim Services directly at djjvolunteerservices@djj.state.ga.us. That's the email address. So it's djjvolunteerservices@djj.state.ga.us. And we'll be more than happy to have any all the volunteers we can get. Of course, you got to be vetted, and we got to go through that process and make sure that we're properly screened. But all the more volunteers we can have, the better off it is to providing positive outcomes for our kids, because they're our future. So.
Well, thank you so much for your time, and congratulations on your 1 year anniversary over there. I know that you have a great team behind you. We appreciate your coming on the show and sharing. And we, of course, we appreciate the partnership at Goodwill, but what you're doing for the youth most specifically, because like you said, they are our future, and we want to give them all the support that they need to be successful. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you all.